This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
The Drive's top four at four.
Hour number two of the Drive underway. 4 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Rick Butler has the top four at four brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles.
Gentlemen, here we go. Number one, earlier this morning, Tennessee announced the My All campaign. Now, according to UT Sports, this is a comprehensive fundraising initiative to ensure Tennessee's ability to provide a transformational student-athlete experience for current and future Vols and Lady Vols. In case you had missed any of the kind of the marketing ploys this morning, they had a lot of former UT athletes, Peyton Manning included, to kind of push the start of this initiative. But it is a big fundraising plan set out by the UT administration.
Got to do it, man. I mean, they're woefully short on funds. That's why you brought this guy in here, Danny White, and for all the football coaching stuff and everything, like, this is probably the biggest part of his job right now. Did you guys see the latest renderings for Neyland Stadium?
No, I haven't.
So this is the third go around of it, and it's kind of a scaled back version of what Fulmer had proposed. And they've got some club seats. I believe they're going to call it the Lower West Club on the west sideline. There's going to be club seating down there. You're going to have the upper deck Jumbotron in the north end zone with club seating all around it. Probably going to take us under 100,000, which is not a huge deal to me anymore. My question for it is, what's going to go on the outside? One of my favorite aspects of the Fulmer edition of the Neyland renovation was they were going to completely transform the outside of the south end zone, which is not really looking good.
Yeah, I finally realized, you know, because you usually mention that when we were talking about all this, but it was last week when I told you I went by, wanted to look at Lindsay and rode by Neyland, and I was like, wow, Russ was, it looks horrible.
Yeah, it's really decrepit, and weren't any renderings of that and really no mention of it, so that's my question is, okay,
it's well and fine out there, but you got to do.
And it's like what Vitello's been talking about is it's not necessarily the press box or the capacity or anything like that, but he doesn't like the facade, the entrance to the stadium in comparison to the other schools around there. He thinks it looks second rate. And I think this, and he said to the point where he won't bring recruits in through the front gates of the stadium because he just doesn't want them to see it. Because if they see that, they're the only thing they're going to think is, man, that sucks compared to LSU and A&M
right.
And Vanderbilt and everybody else. So I kind of think this, it's a similar thing for football, man. That's Neyland Stadium, and it needs to look nice on the outside, and it doesn't. It looks nice in front of Gate 21,
right,
the northwest corner. It does not look nice on the south end zone when you're driving past Neyland on Neyland Drive.
No,
yeah, it needs to be updated.
And they have all those, well, because it used to be a dorm room, right, all those many years ago.
Yeah.
So now a lot of them are kind of converted classrooms. I know that I took anthropology classes inside of Neyland Stadium right there in that area that you're talking about where G10 is as
it's
well.
It's literally 100 years old.
It looks ancient.
It's older than that.
No, it's 100 years old.
Is
because
it 100 years old?
Neyland Stadium turns 100 years old this year.
Oh, wow, you're right.
And I had classes in there.
It's maybe not quite that old because that place was not built then, but it's a very old building and it needs to be refurbished.
I was dumbfounded when I figured out they had classrooms in there, but yeah, they need to do something about it, no doubt, and this should help.
Could you imagine going down deep inside that place? Woo, scary.
Deep into the bowels of Neyland Stadium. Here we go, number two. Guys, in case you wanted to go to the game, I hope you had tickets well in advance because they are sold out at Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the three games this weekend.
People mad about it.
People were not happy about it. You can go to Twitter and find those reactions very, very easily. Just a quick reminder, Saturday's game will be at 7. Sunday's game will be either at noon or 3. And then, if necessary, Monday's game will be either at 4 or 7. But also, 90 minutes prior to each game, according to All Vols on Twitter, the Tennessee Ticketing Office, standing room only tickets will be sold at the Lindsey Nelson Stadium gates for $15. Although, I'd imagine we've seen a lot of instances where Tennessee fans have camped football, have camped basketball.
How many standing
room? I don't
room
know if they
tickets?
Will. Doesn't say. Doesn't say.
They need to release that.
There could
that
be
information.
Five. There
they
could
need
be
to release
five.
That information. And,
they should.
Hey, if I would, if I knew that I was going to get, I would stand in line for several hours.
Me too.
To get one of those.
And I know
that's
that,
fine.
I totally agree. I've done that for football and basketball, so I will not be surprised to see people there early in the morning. I would assume, but there will be some tickets. But you're right. We don't know how many. So good luck.
Yeah. That. Standing room would be fun. We need as many loud people in there as possible.
No doubt. Number three, did you guys happen to see Garrett Cole's interview on Tuesday, whether he was asked if he had ever used a particular sticky paste called Spider Tack while on the mound?
He didn't.
No, but I heard the audio on overtime last night.
Sure. So, okay, there you go. That's kind of what I was referring to. He said this, you know, I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are custom and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. What a way to word this. And I think that there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. He continues on a little bit more to say, but essentially all this goes to say that MLB has an enhanced plan to crack down on foreign substance being used by these pitchers, and Garrett Cole was not ready to discuss that when he was asked about it on Tuesday.
I think it's funny in baseball during the late 90s, early 2000s, everybody's like, man, these home run numbers are so up. Why are the power numbers so up? Because everybody was cheating. This year, why the pitching is unbelievable. We've had like 18 no-hitters already. Why is the pitching so good? Because everybody is cheating.
Garrett Cole's one start after this in the month of June.
Is the ball constructed differently? Is it something about air patterns at the ballpark?
No, what's it called again?
Strategy.
Spider tech.
Are people swinging harder? Are they playing differently as they approach it? No, everybody's cheating, dude. They're putting stuff on the ball.
Check their hats. They're using stuff.
Spider tack.
Spider tack.
So what's it do? Make their fingers like super tacky and they can
just grip it better for the spin.
Yeah, yeah. Just put some wicked spin on it.
Exactly.
Wicked spin.
So they're cracking down. We'll see what happens with that. But last but not least, fourth story of the day so far. The Houston Texans have canceled their mandatory minicamp for June 15th through the 17th because, according to the coach, David Culley, the team, quote, accomplished what they wanted to get accomplished already. Now, if you also look at the story in a Deshaun Watson lens, which we actually haven't talked about in a long time, but that is still an ongoing story. Deshaun Watson cannot be fined for missing the team's spring workouts. I wonder if that has anything to play in it as we still figure out this story with the 22 active lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior for the quarterback. But nonetheless,
I don't know.
They're trying to.
John Reed was talking on his show earlier that I think Deshaun came out today and basically said he wants to play in Denver.
Wow. I had not seen any kind of statement by Deshaun Watson, but it feels like he's got a couple of other things to get settled before
Denver
he wants to announce what
trade
he wants
for somebody
to do.
Or get what who's
they
there?
Were in the
oh
Rogers,
they were in the Rogers
well
sweepstakes.
They were talked yeah. about yeah. yeah yeah they got
Bridgewater,
Bridgewater. He did Bridgewater is there
Bridgewater
right
went to Denver
he did yeah
he's a pretty solid quarterback.
So there you go. Also, the NFL wants to hold games in Germany. That's kind of crazy, but that right there is your top four.
They want to help hold games in Germany. Well, why not? We're playing games in England and play games in Germany, too.
Yeah, they boast one of the world's largest economies, according to ESPN. They're becoming an attractive partner. Could you see a German NFL game in the
Listen,
future?
No.
I don't know if you guys are history buffs.
No.
But the country of Germany, not once, but twice, within the last 100 or so years.
Oh, definitely
decided
within the last 100.
To.
They wanted some.
They're a little bit aggressive. A little bit aggressive. Okay. I'm not sure American tackle football is something we should be exporting to these people. Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
You know what one of the leading statistics in this expansion could potentially be? The increased rate in sales of the Madden NFL video game.
In Germany?
I'm not kidding you. In Germany.
Touchdown Madden! Nine!
That's all we need is a bunch of angrier than normal Germans. You know how mad people get when their team loses. I'm just saying, man. Maybe
piss those people off. The next thing you know, they're in Paris, and we're all having to gear up and go over there and tell them, make them go home.
We want to give them something American. How about water parks? Okay. How about something that'll actually put them in a lighter-hearted frame of mind?
You want to send over those germ-infested water parks anywhere else?
Don't do the water slide. It's nine.
I think that we just whatever we have that's chill, that's what we need to give them. We don't need to be winding these people up. Seems to end badly. Mm. Just saying.
Germany.
Speaking of angry Germans.
Oh, wow.
Friend of the show, longtime caller, Weston Franklin, apparently is in Germany right now. And
what?
Tweeted out, apparently, according to his tweet, his father-in-law passed away. Wes is at a funeral in Germany and getting ready to go at it.
Oh, God.
Apparently,
I didn't even know you could travel there.
Yeah. Something was said about it was a shame that Wes's kids didn't speak German.
You didn't know you could travel
I didn't know if there were still travel restrictions.
Because of COVID, right?
Because of COVID, Russ.
Right, World
you're
War
coming
II.
Off a little salty there, okay? But anyhow, yeah, and then Wes is talking about he said he was getting ready to let him know that their grandfather fought in World War II so that they didn't have to speak German. Uh-oh. At his father-in-law's wake.
On what? Oh, this has international incident written all over it.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think both sides of apparently both sides of Wes's family on that end.
Wait, does
one
he
side
have...
fought for the Germans. And
he married Wes's, into a German family?
Yeah, apparently so, from what there's I can some, glean.
Some Nazis on that side of the family tree way back in the day.
So do you remember the NFL staging preseason games in Germany between 1990 and 1994?
Well, I remember the... NFL Europe,
they had the
Rhine Fire.
The Rhine Fire.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Berlin Thunder.
Bill Duff played for the Rhine Fire.
The Berlin Thunder, Frankfurt Galaxy, Hamburg Sea Devils, and the Rhine Fire. Yeah.
I feel like we've overlooked our angry German accents that we use sometimes.
They were very good. I was thoroughly impressed.
So we've already sent them football, and it didn't take the first time. And we're just determined that you will like this.
To teach Germany about one of the most violent sports.
You will like the football.
Ever.
Now that they have their video games and fantasy football participation, they're all aboard, it sounds like.
All right, that is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com or call 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment today. Oh, lots of smiles all over Big Orange Country this week as Tony Vitello has got Tennessee fans feeling groovy. You want to make sure your smile is looking good. No crooked teeth. No gum lines exposed. Bunch of LSU fans. You want your teeth looking the way a Tennessee fan's teeth should look. Pearly white, pristine, in good condition. Check out KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Schedule your appointment today. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Coming up, just a few minutes. Going to get T-Bob Hebert on the show.
Is your plan getting any more solid or how you're going to handle this?
No. I'll see what happens. We'll wing it.
Have you looked up the pictures of him yet?
I know he's a former offensive lineman. He's a big, crazy-looking dude, right?
Yeah, his eyes
like
look like they don't always – It appears that sometimes his eyes orbit independently of one another. He's just crazy-eyed looking. He's a starting center at LSU. I imagine he wouldn't be a whole lot of fun to tangle with. A center?
No. Ooh. Yeah, he would probably.
Oh,
he'd probably kick all our asses. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, we're going to pretend here.
But that doesn't mean I can't win in a battle of wits against him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you just got him on the air.
How far is
it to
Baton Rouge? Like 900 miles to Baton Rouge, maybe not.
Well, if he's crazy, he might drive up here and try and get at me. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Who do we put in front? I say we put Chance and John. I feel like that's a pretty good wall to put in front. That's at least who if you had to nominate two, That's who I would nominate from FanRun.
If I had to get in a fight with two people from FanRun?
No. I would say if you had to bring two people from FanRun, I would bring Chance and John.
If I had to pick a champion in trial by combat.
Like Tyrion? Oh, man.
What do you
think,
Barry?
Chance or John?
From FanRun Radio in a trial by combat situation.
There's only one answer.
Chance.
Chance Collins.
Chance Collins.
Over John Reed?
Hell yeah. Chance boxed.
John is undefeated in fights, as he likes to say. What is he, like 6-0, 7-0, something like that?
Coming out of McMinn County?
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying.
Is that positive or negative?
I'm just saying.
He's been working out for like a year. He's looking good, man.
He looks fantastic.
All I'm saying is I have no
doubt.
You're asking me if
trial by combat. I'm taking Chance Collins. He's a boxer.
How many fights has he been in?
In the past year? We watched it.
Chance is an expert at like dealing with people and moving them out of a situation.
Oh yeah, because he has worked as kind of a bouncer type job before, right? He's worked in bars.
He's the manager of a restaurant, it's
a tavern, and we watched it. Like we worked the same place, and we all got in there one morning because we saw the note in the Facebook group. It was like, you know, Chance had to deal with somebody, so like. Me and all my guys got in there early and pulled the video off the security cameras and got it on a jump drive and got it and put it up on the big screen and watched Chance just deal with this dude.
Throw hands?
The guy tried.
Because you don't want to really Chance throw hands in that situation. You just want to kind of neutralize
exactly,
the guy.
Exactly. Choke him out or whatever. You're wanting to protect. You don't want to set up your owner.
I'm going to need somebody to throw. We're talking about a former SEC offensive lineman here. I mean, you're probably not going to be able to just kind of.
So we don't need two.
Yeah.
John and Chance. That's who I say.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Do you think
Bob Tom Hebert would destroy, he would take them John by their heads.
Both of them.
Both of them and mash their heads together.
Two on one?
Yeah.
No, those are two prideful.
I don't care how prideful they are.
Who will not lose like that?
I mean, if they had a good strategy.
I mean, right now, I'm telling you, you can talk about prideful. I'd take both of those jokers on at one time. I mean, they take me.
I think the route would be Chance jump on his back, put him in a rear naked choke, and let John pound on him. I think that's your.
John comes in.
I would
like
be afraid it would. I would be afraid it would piss Hebert off. He's a former. You know, borderline.
Well, we're talking about a fight, Barry. Yeah, he's going to be pissed off.
He's going to be ticked no matter what.
I'm just telling you, I've seen these guys fight over the years because I've worked in bars all over Knoxville. They're different than us. I promise you.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm bringing two.
I mean, I've got a really good friend who didn't play like he wasn't a linebacker or anything. He was on the 85 Sugar Vols. And those guys that are good enough to play at that level, they're just different. They start off so far above you athletically. They're in the top 1%, Russ.
All right, well, we'll bring him on. Coming up here in just a second, T-Bob Hebert, he does radio down there in Baton Rouge now, and we're going to jump on. He's been poking at ball fans onto an intense back and forth. Not even like a friendly type trash talk.
When you put out
things.
A picture of a decapitated Smokey. Yeah.
All right, it's been intense. We'll talk to him about it coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Rick Cruz along with you Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. T-Bob Hebert, former LSU football player, does radio now down in Baton Rouge, joining us on the show this afternoon. Good afternoon, T-Bob. How are you, sir?
Yo, what's up, boys? What's going on? I'm doing quite well. Just enjoying this afternoon. Looking at tickets to Omaha, just kind of seeing what the prices are. You know, just figuring some things out.
So, looking at tickets to Omaha so you can give Tennessee fans advice on where to find them next week?
No. But you're right, though. They would need advice, right? I mean, it's not a place that they're all too familiar with it at all. I'm not entirely sure. But Yeah, I mean, one day, sure, maybe. But not this day. No, not this week.
T-Bob, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You know Tennessee fans are crazy. What are your mentions like on Twitter right now?
They are simply fantastic. They're a wonderful mixture of like half the people that are really like a third that are enraged and like we're gonna kill.
Oh no.
Through the day he ever came here, and then there's like a third that's like, I can't believe that you would say these things. And then there's a third that is just like enjoying the whole thing and kind of bantering back and forth. So it is a wonderful mixture right now. But I mean, obviously, as you can tell, I like fun sports trolling. I like heel personas in wrestling, right? Like, I like the great heels that can sit there and make I always think about like Shawn Michaels walking in the ring and people like throwing drinks on him and stuff and just swaggering through it. Like, that's a skill, man. That's a real skill. You're seeing in the NBA right now with Kevin Durant, who I've hated forever because he got me with the heel bit. And now he's kind of bringing me. So it's like, yeah, man, I love this stuff. I think it's what makes it so much fun. And selfishly, it was on my show where Paul had that clip where he was talking about, you know, they were nasty and the things they said to Trey Morgan. I didn't like how they celebrated. And that's what Tennessee fans really latched onto. And so, yeah, man, we're stoking the flames. It's going down this weekend in Knoxville. Let's do it, boys.
Well, I mean, if you like heels, you like our coach, Tony Vitello, man. He puts on the dark cape and he'll slap you around and tell you about it. That's what happened the last time you guys came up here.
I mean, wait, boys. Are we calling, being about a strike and another strike away from losing the series? Are we calling that being slapped around?
T-Bob, I thought you were a football. I thought you were a football player. Being close, you're taking moral victories against Tennessee now. Come on, dude. That's pathetic.
No. Why would I have need for moral victories?
Because you got swept.
We're about to whoop that ass in Knoxville in front of a packed house. 100% capacity means four times the amount of people as last time to watch y'all cry on the way home as this against all odds LSU team rises above and goes to Omaha to send Paul off into that beautiful
You're not coming to Oregon. You're not coming to Oregon, T-Bob. This is a little bit different than last week.
Might as well be if you look at the two baseball histories. I mean, is there any functional difference?
It's going to be a little bit of a difference, yes. It's going to be a little bit ratcheted up atmosphere. And by the way, the team's about five times better.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think so. I think LSU's pretty bad. And yeah, LSU almost beat Tennessee, so Tennessee can't be that good.
Almost. Almost counts in what, tiddlywinks and hand grenades?
If Dooley hadn't sent 28 guys out on the field.
I apologize. You raise a good point because it was like that time in 2009 or 2010, whatever it was, when you almost beat us in football, but like you had 13 people on the field. And yeah, that was close. Close enough. I agree. I know.
Yeah.
I know,
nobody beat their head about saying, oh, yeah, we almost – no, we screwed it up. We botched it.
We own it.
It happened.
But guess what?
What?
We're going to atone for it. We're going to atone for it this weekend. Like I said, in front of a packed house, nothing makes me more happy than the opportunity to create maximum sadness in Tennessee. It's as I said on Twitter, revenge is a dish best served purple and gold.
Well, bring it on. Tennessee's going to be waiting, and this team enjoys, like I said, playing the bad guy, played the wrestling heel. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And I don't know, you guys have the history, the tradition. I mean, there's no denying that.
None.
But there's a reason you're letting your coach go, and there's a reason you're trying to hire our coach, and there's a reason he ain't going. It's because
we're the new
Kings. Bend the knee, so kiss the ring. Kneel before Tony Vitello, T-Bob.
You're a trumped up baron. You're a merchant that maybe sold fold some silk and get these a little over his station. But here, no, real sports talk, though. Real sports talk. There is a great irony in this matchup in that you have, on one hand, you have LSU that has all the tradition. You have Tennessee, which is new to this, and it's been really awesome to watch, like, the Tennessee rise. The visuals coming out of that stadium were so badass last week. But it is pretty fascinating to where it's almost like because there were such low expectations because of how bad LSU was during the season, that this is almost like Lanyap for them. Like, don't get me wrong, people will be mad if they go up there and lose. Absolutely. But, like, Tennessee, they are the three seed, right? They are the bag. They are the big bad guys in this scenario. Like, they are have been the much better team throughout the majority of the year. So, in an ironic way, even though the history isn't there, like, Tennessee does have the burden of expectation that comes with being the front runner.
It's hard to beat anybody twice. And, I mean, look, LSU has ruined Tennessee's hopes and dreams before. So, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I was a little bit worried about that. But, I mean, on paper, it looks like Tennessee should have a significant advantage in this one. So what's the deal? LSU, one of their pitchers that pitched up here earlier, is he hurt? He's no longer pitching?
I'll give you a quick rundown on the pitching. So Landon Marceau, the Friday night guy is really good. Now, He threw Friday at Oregon, and then he actually closed out Monday night. So I was really happy he got Saturday. Maybe he's not going to be fully rested, right? But, like, Landon Marceau versus Chad Dallas should be great. On Saturday, A.J. Labus was dominant for, like, half the year and had this unreal complete game against Ole Miss. And, unfortunately, after that, he kind of fell off like a cliff almost. Now, he had a strong showing at Oregon. Hopefully he can do that again. So, like, LSU still feels confident in their top two options, but the other cat, Jaden Hill, who was, like, viewed as a top five pick coming in, he has all the physical ability, right, but he never quite translated to that success or consistency, but he ended up, he needs Tommy John, which sucks. It's horrible for him, right? Kills his draft stock. It's just a horrible thing. And so once you get past those first two starters, LSU has major question marks. It's the reason why I was so shocked that they won on Monday is because they didn't have any pitching left. I mean, they threw everybody that had a pulse, that had even a modicum of success this year. And, you know, obviously they gave up 8 runs to Oregon. So it was like they had to score to make up for it. So I'm definitely concerned about the starting pitching. Like, the only way LSU does get out of Knoxville is if those top two guys they have to go deep. They have to go deep. Like, when LSU has been successful in the second half of this season, because their starter has been able to go very deep into the game, and then they've been able to handle it, like, right to Devin Fontenot, who's their very good closer. And then you find another way to, like, steal one somewhere else throughout the weekend. So it has been a very cobbled together approach for LSU this year, whereas Tennessee's obviously much more consistent through and through.
Who do the fans?
And yes, Tony Vitello's the beast.
Well, who do the fans want to be LSU's next coach now that Maneri's done?
So, like, O'Sullivan is the like, well, you can't argue with that hire, right? Because, like, if you hire a guy who's won a Natty, like, right? They like Cliff Godwin from East Carolina. They definitely love Vitello as well, but, like, I mean, come on, why? I mean, Vitello's the king of Knoxville. Why would he go anywhere else? He built such a good thing there. Like I said, it's been so cool watching the Tennessee fan base fall in love with college baseball and just packing it out and getting crazy. And hopefully now you have another power in the East that can, you know, consistently compete with Vanderbilt and just more in this ridiculously good conference that is the SEC. And so I see no world in which Tony Vitello would leave. And I would hope that the administration would basically just be like, look, it doesn't matter what anybody's offering you. We're going to match it. Because I enjoy, like, why college baseball is so much fun in this conference is because everybody is so damn good. And it's been wild to watch Tennessee versus, I remember like previewing that series, right? And there's definitely a bit of LSU elitism and like, it's Tennessee. What's the problem? They're pretty good. I mean, I guess they play good in the beginning. And then on the other side of you, you're like, oh wow, okay, no, that's a new team. And then it just feels like throughout the year, Tennessee just kept taking these steps forward and kept getting better and better and better.
Are you coming up for the game?
I cannot.
It's a tough ticket.
We are going to do a watch party. We're going to do a watch party like somewhere Saturday night. There's this like farm that has that brews its own beer and makes its own cheese and stuff. And so they might put a projector up, get out there under the sky, drink some beers, watch this game, and hope for the best. Hope for the best. Like I said, I was a betting man. Would not take LSU, but that's why you play the game. That's why you play the game. I mean, here's to hoping that they can kind of continue this improbable run that they've been on in the latter half of this season.
We're looking to throw a lovely retirement party for Paul Maneri this weekend. Up here at T-Bob. It's gonna be great. Did we lose him?
I think we.
T-Bob, you there? Hello.
Did you mute yourself, T-Bob?
He's driving. He might have gone through a bad cell. All right, let's stick with it for just a second. All right.
See if he comes back.
Hey, Bobby there. Hello.
What a wise guy.
It was fun.
He's funny, isn't he?
Okay. Give him a call. Tell him we're pretty much done anyway. We're wrapping up there. So,
absolutely.
Appreciate him jumping on there. That was fun. All right. I like it. Bring it on. Let's do it. Let's throw down. Come up here trying to take our dude. No. You're going to bend the knee and kiss the ring. That's what you're going to do.
He did. You did pick up on that at the end. He was like, why would
– know. He ain't going nowhere. I mean, that's. Yeah. I feel like that's basically out right now.
He's worked – Vitello's worked his ass off for 4 years now.
Well, and it's funny because all the – like those that Kendall Rogers guy, all the National College Baseball guys, a couple of weeks ago when the carousel started up, we're talking about – man, it's going to be hard for Tennessee to keep him and all this stuff. And now I think it's more or less, he's staying and Tennessee's stepping up and keeping him and he doesn't really want to go anywhere. So it's interesting how that whole narrative has flipped around. Oh, we got him back? T-Bob.
Yeah. Let's send him off here.
Yeah, just wrapping up with you, man. Go ahead.
I pulled into my driveway. And the Bluetooth switched to my wife's car, which has two sleepy babies in it that I was about to transfer. And so, way to go, boys. You woke up the baby.
We woke them up.
No,
we woke up the A-Bear kids.
The little A-Bears.
I thought I was a troll in here. You're waking up napping babies. What are you doing here?
Wake up, kids. Wake up. Poopy diapers for T-Bob. Let's go.
Well, hell yeah, boys. Y'all have an awesome day. Super fun. Can't wait for this weekend. And look, like I said, if y'all, for future reference, in the future, if I get to go to Omaha this year when LSU goes, because I've never been, I'll kind of scout it out, and then I'll give you back some of the info for next year.
Okay.
T-Bob, I'm afraid that Smokey is about to dunk on Mike the Tiger, and he's going to hang on the rim for a little bit on the way out the door, too, T-Bob. Get you some of that. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you boys have a good day, dude. All right.
T-Bob Avery.
That's insane.
That's good stuff, man. I like it.
Yeah, that was great.
He's a funny dude.
Oh, man.
I still want to know who does all his Photoshop stuff. Because you figure, I mean, it's T-Bob Hebert. He's on 104.5.
People want to see this. It's at T-Bob53 on Twitter. And, yeah, his timeline's something, man.
Yeah.
I like who he was – I mean, he said it straight up like we kind of predicted. He was like, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, that's who I'm being. Like, that's who I'm portraying.
I mean, you can picture – I've got a mental image of young Hebert watching a lot of wrestling.
Dakota on Twitter says, this guy is a broke man's Paul Heyman. Matt says, is this what it's like to listen to CTE?
God, that's horrible.
Foster says, why do I not like this guy? He makes me want to punch stuff. You don't like him because he's talking trash. Right in that mouth.
If he had played center at Tennessee, we'd love him.
Jeb says, there's no doubt in my mind that at T-Bob53 is really at Ray UGA. That guy.
Yeah,
that's some good ones from the fans.
Kind of likes a little much. I don't think T-Bob's that bad.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Quick timeout. Back with more Fan Run Radio right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. Big happenings this weekend. UFC 263. It's fight night. Big rematch. Israel Adesanya, Marvin Vettori 2. FanDuel giving you 30-1 odds on either fighter to win in the main event. That's right, 30-1 odds. That means you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. Place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code DRIVE1 to get in on this incredible action. Then just sit back and watch the fist fly. Adesanya Vettori 2 this Saturday, June the 12th. FanDuel is my go-to for all my sports bets. Great promos like this one. The app is super easy to use. It's super safe and secure. Never had any issues with FanDuel. And the payouts are always fast in as little as 24 hours. Don't forget, you can get in on this offer with FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app for free and sign up using our promo code DRIVE1 so they know that we sent you. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1. UFC this weekend. Big sports weekend after the Vols knock out the Tigers. You can watch maybe a knockout or two on Fight Night UFC 263. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For gambling problem support, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Back to the folks we go. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Where's AW? Hello. How you bearing and Fables doing?
Man, a little fired up after T-Bob Hebert. Get on here and run that mouth a little bit, bumping his gums, Philly.
Yeah, I'm glad he got that LSU reject off there.
How did that strike you?
Well, I mean, you held the ground against him. I mean, they talk smack all they want to. It's time to get reverse of what happened and started in 2001. Let's start a new trend. Let's kick somebody's ass.
Let's put a curse on them the way Rohan Davies' mama put on us. Oh, they sacrificed the goat at halftime.
Can somebody make a Mike the Tiger voodoo doll for us? Can we get some sort of voodoo doll? Let's get a hex on him. Let's go out there to Bayou Bay and see if Andy and the boys can wrestle up some swamp person to come on and put some sort of reverse mojo. Yeah.
Voodoo, Santeria.
Let's do it.
I think Tennessee played in a tougher regional than LSU played in.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on it. I didn't follow it that closely. But there's no doubt that I don't think LSU is going to be intimidated by the environment. I really don't. And no. It is going to be more intense than what they saw last week. But they're accustomed to playing in front of big crowds. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. But we're just better than Oregon, man. And they barely scraped by against them. If we are on our A game, we should handle them.
Let's talk a little bit about our athletic director with those ticket fiascos this morning, and then they come out and say they're going to get raise all this money for Neyland Stadium. Where's the smallest money going to come from? I mean, this is a bad time to be doing it, isn't it?
Bad time, but you got to do it. I mean, can't wait.
Why can't you wait 5 years to get the football program stable to the ground?
Wait 5 years to start a fundraising campaign?
Yeah, you see what construction prices are now?
Yeah, but you can't wait, Phil. I mean, we're woefully behind our SEC brethren and our rivals.
Wait 20 years, we ain't done nothing with all the money we blowed.
You can't wait, man. You got to move forward. And look, I wish him the best of luck. It's going to be hard. You're right. It's a bad time to be going around there and asking for money. But you got to do something with that football stadium. You got to do something with your baseball stadium. You're going to have to pay the coach in that baseball game more. You've got a new football program you're trying to get rolling. It's going to take significant investment. You can't sit around and wait and say, well, hopefully we win and then we can build it. No, man, you got to build it now.
Did Alabama make their improvements in their stadium? I don't think they did it until after Saban started winning big down there.
Yeah, but we're so far behind where they were even then. Like, you know, Mike Shula had gone 9-3, I think, the year before the year he got fired. Whereas, I mean, we're irrelevant, Phil. We have to push the emergency button. There's no more waiting. It has to happen now.
I mean, we're good at raising money and firing coaches, but are we going to get a good coach and win big? That's the thing. But that's how it might be hope for him. I mean, this would be his first World Series if he could beat LSU this weekend. But Heupel, I like what he's done, but I don't see how he can get anything done. It's going to be a four-year rebuild to get it back to even the respectability.
Yeah. It's going to take some time. As George Harrison said, it's going to take a lot of money.
Well, we've wasted millions and millions and millions of dollars the last 20 years and got nothing out of it.
That's exactly right. Good Lord, we paid Kevin Steele $1 million to sit in an office for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then we gave old Hall a gold gift to Blount County. See
you. He's getting angry now.
Yeah, I don't understand what his point is. Don't institute a fundraising campaign because we suck. Wait 5 years, and then hopefully we're better, and then go get the money. That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Like, no offense, Phil, but we're broke. We got a baseball coach people are sniffing around him. He's all we got right now. We got to keep him, man. We got to raise money to get his stadium, and we got to raise money to fix up Neyland, man, because it's looks bad, man. Drive down there.
They've at least got to. They got to start with sandblasting the steel on the south end zone and repainting it.
Kendall Rogers, D1 baseball. I guess this guy's like the oracle for college baseball, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that market cornered. He says 7 minutes ago, multiple sources have informed D1 Baseball that former Oregon State baseball legendary coach Pat Casey has emerged as the leading candidate for the LSU baseball head coaching job. More could be coming on this very soon.
See, I would think that LSU is the kind of program where they've been and what they've been doing, that they would be looking for an established head coach with a proven track record of getting to the
– Well, it sounds like this guy's pretty established.
Yeah. Like, this is the first one, or I've been like, yeah, that makes sense.
But if he's legendary, like, how – he's 62 years old.
How old's Marinari?
He looks like he's mid-60s, just if I had to guess. And he's been – I guess he retired. Oh, he won the College World Series in 2018 at Oregon State, and then I guess he rode off into the distance. Huh. Hey, at least it's not Tony.
Yeah.
Fine. Hire Pat Casey. We'll whip his ass too, T-Bob. Bring old Pat Casey down here. You don't want none of this.
Get that old man.
Go get your old man. Bring him and his AARP card down here.
T-Bob's going to show up with his granddad.
We'll have a walker for him, waiting on him, so he can get around Lindsey Nelson. Those steps can be tricky in the dugout.
Should we provide that the LSU coach with a hover around this weekend?
Oh, man.
They're classless.
Classless.
Oh, my piles hurt.
Your paws hurt?
Piles.
Piles?
Yeah.
Piles of what?
You know what it is, don't you, Huckabah?
Yeah. My piles hurt?
That's another word for hemorrhoids.
Oh God.
What?
Yeah.
My piles?
Yeah. That's another word for it.
Another word for it?
I'm
Have you
tired.
Ever heard that, Rick?
No, I had never heard
piles
it until now.
Piles for
it up.
My piles hurt. I guess that is a – hemorrhoid is – it is a nasty word. It is a word fit for the condition.
You need a softening word.
Yeah.
Yeah, piles
is saying.
Piles sounds better.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I think piles is what they used probably called it way, way back, like the original term for it, and then they at some point came up with really medical but disgusting-sounding hemorrhoids.
That note.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. Willie. is next. Speaking of hemorrhoids. Good afternoon, sir.
Whoa.
I'm apologize. Just kidding. He's a cheap shot. Hey, what do you want from me? The guy takes cheap shots at me all the time.
He has called in and
he's
open with your
skin.
Moron,
I can
Russell.
Slap him around a little bit. You don't mind, do you, Willie?
Yeah, you are a moron, Russell. Hey, I got a funny story for you. I had a doctor's appointment today down off Middlebrook Pike.
Yeah.
And Willie Jr., when he was working at the Nike outlet, heck, it's probably been 5 years ago, he bought me a pair of bright, I'm talking neon yellow Nike shorts. It's got a purple swoosh on it. And he also bought me a purple Nike shirt to go with it. I mean, they match perfect. And I had no plans on going by Lindsey Nelson Stadium today, but I was going down to Calhoun's to eat on my way back. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down there and check out baseball practice. If I can get in, I was really just planning on looking through the fence. And down there, down the left field line, they got the gate open. So, heck, I just walk in, and I'm standing down there, and I wasn't even thinking about the colors I was wearing.
Oh!
But they thought I was a damn spy.
Willie, what are you thinking? You can't walk in there this week in purple and gold.
I did.
What did they? Wait, who came up to you?
Well. It started raining, and it was starting to rain pretty good. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go back and put my Pal Panther paw on my head.
Yeah.
So I went and got my Pal hat so I could kind of have proof that I wasn't from Baton Rouge. And I wore that down there, went back in, and it started pouring down rain. So I just – it started raining so hard, I just left.
Willie walked up in Lindsey Nelson today in purple and gold, looking like Paul Maneri's brother or something.
Looking like a spy.
They accused him of espionage.
Hey, they sent a guy down there to check me out.
That's awesome. What did he say?
He didn't say anything.
Oh, he's just like watching you.
He walked on the other side of the street there, on the side of the street next to the football practice complex. But boy, he was checking me out. There's no question about it.
So some guy gets on a walkie. Yes, we've got a code 14 over at Lindsey Nelson in the parking lot. So we got somebody in purple and gold trying to spy on Vitello's boys. Send somebody over to check it out. Over.
North side of the stadium. We'll get it covered. Thanks.
I thought they'd just shoot. If you had one of those drones, would they just shoot it down?
I thought that was one of the coolest stories I've had in a while, and it's not a story.
It's pretty good.
It was true.
It's pretty good, Willie. It's pretty good. I apologize for calling you a hemorrhoid.
See you guys.
You know, General Nealon was legendary for being paranoid about spies. He would send
– Really?
On practice, he would be looking up across the river at the bluffs. And he would send people out over there because he would see things. Like, there's somebody from Bama looking.
Who was this?
General Nealon.
Do you think that has anything to do with just the militaristic background?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, it's got to, right? You have to connect two and two there.
Yeah, but Probably. It's also the earliest signs of just how insane.
Insanity.
Not just college, but Southeastern Conference.
Because it was probably very much true.
Yeah, I'm sure. You don't think that Alabama would have had people up on that bluff?
I mean, the Patriots are still doing it.
That's one of the things, man. I wonder what was on all that dump truck load of stuff that they destroyed.
And it's not this thing. I mean, they're an easy target, I'm sure.
The Major League Baseball, it's like you said earlier when we were talking about my guy, Garrett Cole, about the – what's it called, Rick? The tack.
Spider tack.
Spider tack.
Spider tack.
It's such a great name.
It is.
Observation that – Well, yeah, everybody cheats.
If Josh Heupel pulled you aside and said, look, Bear, here's a little package, $20,000 or something, whatever. I need you to do a favor for me.
Yeah.
You run down to Alabama. They're having a practice this weekend. And across from the practice field, there's a parking garage. I want you to go up there, and I want you to take some pictures, and I want you to take some video,
right,
and report back to me. If you get caught, you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
You've never been to Knoxville. You don't. You're just passing through, just a guy who found it interesting and wanted to take some pictures.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Oh yeah, that'd be the perfect. Out of everybody in the city of Knoxville, you could find nobody better or more suited morally or ethically to be a bag man in the SEC than me.
And by that, you mean you have no morals or ethics?
Not when it comes to – I'm just a realist. Let's say I take one of those big brown paper grocery shopping bags, and it's, like, filled to the brim with cash, and I hand it to a star player on Tennessee's football team. It's probably still just a fraction of the revenue they're generating for the school.
We have to when we come back. Yesterday on the show, Tony Vitello said something. He said that his mantra this week, that he played a song for his team. What was the song? It was Incubus. What was the name of the song?
Are You In?
Are You In?
Are You In? We got to find that.
I've already found it.
Can we play it?
I didn't put it in. I didn't have time to put it in today.
All right, we'll find it. We'll find it. And we'll play it because, I mean, this is – I don't care if it's good or not. This is Vitello's song. It's our song, man. He's our
Absolutely.
Guy. He's the leader. We're just hopping in line here. And we will do that. We'll play you the song that Vitello is his theme song for the week. When we continue, hour number 3 of The Drive coming up.